Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez on this Monday, July 26, 2021. Let's talk some more college football with Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Pete, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well. Thank you for your time. And obviously, we want to talk to you about Oklahoma and Texas. We're right in the heart of Big 12 country. The Big 12's already been affected by conference realignment. What's your reaction to everything that's going on right now with Oklahoma and Texas and the SEC?
It's certainly interesting. And I think it's not quite, I mean, it's a seismic shift if it happens, obviously. It's certainly not a death blow to the Big 12 overall, and it's not the end of college sports as we know it. I mean, we've seen this before when it comes to realignment, and there's a little bit of practical issues with all this when, you know, okay, so if Texas and Oklahoma go to the SEC, okay, so then 15 teams don't win the SEC championship now instead of 13. Okay, so it's just another big league, but obviously there's lots more money involved. The big issue that I think is kind of being missed here is that you have to remember, SEC people have to remember, the Big Ten doesn't care about the SEC. The Pac-12 doesn't care about the SEC. And the Big 12 people are going to hate the SEC. So it's not like they're going to expand the brand all that crazy big by being able to do this, but it certainly would make them a whole lot of money.
So you say that this isn't a death blow to the Big 12. How does the Big 12 survive? What happens to them? How do they keep this thing together if, in fact, Oklahoma and Texas leave?
Well, the first thought is, okay, how big are they? Can they actually go after Pac-12 teams? Which is more vulnerable, the Pac-12 or the Big 12? I kind of think the Pac-12 is in a far better position. I sure kind of think that Arizona and Arizona State, for example, are going to be like, nah, we're going to kind of stick with our West Coast side of things rather than go to the Midwest, where, you know, the one big issue is you lose your two big anchor tenants and you just don't have any big time college football teams, you know, at least at the level of Oklahoma and Texas in the Big 12. And Arizona and Arizona State can be a pretty big fish there, but that, I don't think that's wrong. But I think they would have to first just go after American Athletic Conference teams. I think it's crazy not to go after South Florida and UCF. Get a footprint in Florida. Get the Tampa and Orlando markets. Massive fan bases, massive alumni bases. I think that's kind of a hidden gem that they could get. And then you look around. All right, fine. If you got Houston or if you got SMU or Cincinnati or Memphis, that's fine, but that doesn't move the needle. The problem for the Big 12 is you just don't have a whole lot of, you know, university of, you know, insert state here schools that are out there that the Big 12 can go get.
Okay, so then there's at least been some buzz, some talk that if Texas and Oklahoma leave, then maybe Kansas could end up in the Big 10. What about that theory?
Not crazy. The problem is basketball doesn't matter in this. And we kind of saw this before. If you remember like 10-ish or so years ago, when the Big Ten and Texas were talking, it was kind of underreported that Jim Delaney and the Big Ten at least had a thought about North Carolina, for example. The problem was that North Carolina at the time reportedly also wanted Duke to come along, but too small, not big enough for football, and so, yeah, not for basketball. This is all football. Basketball doesn't drive anything. I mean, think about it. I mean, the crazy part about the Big 12 is obviously Kansas is amazing at basketball. Baylor just won the national championship, and yet that doesn't factor into this at all. So yeah, the other thing for the Big 12 to kind of remember is how these things change. Remember when the Big 12 first started, you know, Kansas State was a superpower. Colorado is about to turn back into a powerhouse again. You know, when they got TCU, okay, well, that's just another team for another conference, and they came this close to getting into the college football playoff. So it is possible to keep having a viable conference. But look, Texas hasn't won a Big 12 championship since, what, 2009? I mean, it is possible to move on, but obviously losing Texas and Oklahoma would be just a massive blow.
So what about where do you think K-State fits in this whole situation?
The problem is geographically, I'm not sure where it fits in. TV market, it doesn't really fit in, but it's more than that. Going forward, it's going to be about streaming. Where is the national fan base? What moves the needle? You know, obviously Kansas City, you know, is a market you'd like to have. So Kansas and Kansas State would be decent, I guess, for somebody. I just don't know necessarily where. Not to dog them because they're, you know, fine academic institutions, but they're not quite Big Ten. Pac-12, do you want to expand? I think that would probably be a good move at some point for the Pac-12. It needs schools in different time zones so it can play its games when people are awake. So it's kind of a stuck situation. Or you just say, okay, look, we're the stars now. We're the Big 12. You know, we're going to be at Iowa State if it can potentially rise up a little bit more. You still have a foothold in Texas, and you still have other possibilities. And there's still the possibility out there that Oklahoma and Texas stick. You know, this isn't a done deal. There's still talks. There's still room for some negotiation. I'm sort of stunned that Texas and Texas particularly would be more interested in the SEC than they would in the Pac-12 or Big Ten. But look, this is still a little bit movable, but it's certainly a big, big step forward to change realignment in general.
So I asked you about Kansas. Does Iowa State make sense in the Big Ten, considering they have the natural rivalry with Iowa, and they already play every year, and that would make it even bigger? Iowa State, as you mentioned, things change about who the football powers are. They just won a Fiesta Bowl. They're ranked in the top 10 in the preseason, top 25. Matt Campbell has this program at to heights it hasn't seen. Would they make sense for the Big Ten if that did happen? Say Kansas and Iowa State going to the Big Ten?
Probably not, because Iowa State, again, you don't have. It's not quite the. I mean, not to be sound snobbish about this, but it's not quite the academic profile that I think the Big Ten would be looking for if it were to expand further. And Iowa State doesn't move their needle. They already got Iowa, so if you've got Iowa, you kind of have the state. And it's not like you're going to get that much bigger a bump in terms of future streaming services and things like that. So remember in all this, this isn't really a sports on the field, wouldn't this be cool rivalry type of story, as much as it is, what do the colleges bring in terms of business? What do they bring in terms of alumni base? What do they bring in terms of potentially selling to advertisers and sponsors? And that's kind of where the Big 12 has it rough at this point, if Texas and Oklahoma leave, because, you know, Oklahoma State's not Oklahoma. You know, Texas Tech and Baylor and TCU are nice, but it's not Texas. So it's again, it's not a done deal, but the Big 12 is going to have to be very proactive and just think, all right, we're just going to kind of rebrand ourselves, remake ourselves, and see what it can get. I think it would have to really go out and hammer home a bunch of American Athletic Conference schools. You look at BYU maybe, because, you know, we talk about streaming services. There's your big national fan base. And there are ways you can maneuver if you're the Big 12. But again, I certainly don't think this is a death blow to the conference.
So you referenced a little bit ago that maybe the Big 12 looks at some of those teams in the Pac-12. The Pac-12 has been roundly criticized for the way they've handled their situation ever since expansion, and it hasn't exactly been a super successful conference since then. What do you think the future of the Pac-12 is right now?
I'm sort of shocked they're sort of eerily quiet, because they got the new commissioner, George Klevkov, who, you know, he's Vegas. He's big picture. He's progressive, sports progressive on this. He is going to be proactive. And he has come out, he said in his initial press conference that they would initially be looking at expansion. I kind of thought from the beginning that if you're the Pac-12, and here's your selling point, is that you've got, in terms of just the, look, markets, You've got L.A., you've got San Francisco, you've got Seattle, Phoenix, Portland, you know, Denver, Salt Lake City is a pretty big market. I mean, you've got the big, giant markets where outside of the Big Ten, the Pac-12 actually could potentially have the most eyeballs and most, you know, and biggest overall media reach of anybody if it were to get a Texas or an Oklahoma and or an Oklahoma. Again, the academics, Stanford, Cal, USC, UCLA. I mean, you're talking, you know, some of the, you know, the top, you know, 20 academic schools in the country. And for you know, Texas, that's a draw. That is a big part of their profile. Oklahoma, it would raise their profile, and it would kind of take them to a kind of a different level, because all of a sudden you go from, you know, the Big 12 where, okay, Dallas is big, Kansas City is big, but you don't have a ton of big media markets, and you change that up quickly with the Pac-12. I think if you're the Pac-12, there's always so many places you can go to try to expand, and you've got to, again, you've got to do something to get into the central time zone, because Pac-12 After Dark is an absolute killer. You know, when you're ending your games at 2 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, half the country is missing your product.
All right, Pete, so what's your prediction? Do you think Texas and Oklahoma will end up in the SEC?
I think they do. You know, I think it happens. I think that they do end up. I mean, it's gotten too far along. There are still various barriers, particularly Texas A&M, who really, really, really doesn't want Texas to be in their conference. And so there's going to be some. It's going to get political really fast. You know, that's where it all started. Is Texas A&M was, you know, blew the horn. It's like, wait a minute, these guys are going to come. You know, are talking to the SEC. Somebody stop this. Missouri seems to be hit or miss on whether or not it wants it. And after that, if you have two other SEC schools that say, no, we don't want this, then it's a done deal. But at the very least, Nora, what happens there, I think this is going to kickstart everyone else. I think this is, I think the conference that should really, really be worried is the ACC. Because the ACC is a horrible, TV deal that it is locked into. And you want to talk about ripe for the picking. If you're the SEC and you're going for world domination, why are you stopping at Texas and Oklahoma? You know, talk about geographic sense. Go get Florida State. Go get Miami. Go get Georgia Tech. Go get Clemson and just lock up that part of the country and really blow it out. Or if you're the Big Ten again and you want to expand the brand, again, I think North Carolina is somewhere in a talking point in a meeting today or sometime this week for the Big Ten to at least think about. Certainly Syracuse. You know, certainly Boston College, certainly those types of schools with the media market and the kind of profile that fits. And I think the Pac-12 is going to be proactive. I think San Diego State is an easy get for them. A big city without a pro football team. So I think there's going to be a lot of talk and a lot of movement over the next several months.
So do you think that like a Clemson would actually be interested? I mean, it seems like the ACC is the one conference has been able to win national titles against the SEC between Florida State and Clemson. Do you think they'd want to join the SEC?
I would think so if the money's, again, in a business, it's more about business than it is about actual sports and football. And if you're looking at the potential, I mean, look what we're talking about here. They're saying that if Texas and Oklahoma wanted to do this and wanted to get divorced and wanted to go play football in the SEC next year, it's like around a $75 million price tag, and they're not even blinking at that. They're like, okay, you know, fine. We'll take our billion coming back to us in the next whatever deal we're going to do, and we'll just give you this money and get out of it. The money could be so astronomical here if it works out like they think it will. I think Clemson would absolutely think about going to the SEC because, again, that just kind of raises the overall profile. And for a place like Florida State, this kind of goes for, like, Texas, too. Remember, you know, in terms of the timeline of history of college sports, you know, being around since 1990, whatever, is seven, is just not that long. You know, Texas is Southwest Conference. It's not Big Eight. You know, Florida State was an independent. It's not got deep, deep, deep roots into the ACC. So these things are always movable.
Okay, I'm gonna throw you a real curveball here, and I'm going to take a moment and ask you a couple of questions about the actual sport of college football and the teams you're going to watch play.
It, yes.
How about that? And so just I'm just going to kind of go through the local schools here and just get your thoughts. Eli Drinkwitz, right now, Mizzou fans are enamored with him and what he's doing on the recruiting trail. He was one of the stars of SEC Media Days, and so Mizzou fans are very excited and energized. What do you think happens with Mizzou under Eli Drinkwitz?
Yeah, first of all, you need that differentiating factor. Okay, so what is Mizzou going to be? What's its calling card going to be? What's its identity going to be? Because obviously Georgia's great, Florida's great, but the SEC East is far more gettable than the SEC West. So if you're Eli Drinkwitz, yeah, you bring that energy, you bring that fire. You do have a history of having good passing games. Drinkwitz comes from an Appalachian State program where, you know, defense and running game and great line play and just not making mistakes and doing all the things right. You just got to have to start from there. So if you're Mizzou, step one is be one of those, you know, programs that just kind of does everything right in terms of, you know, time of possession, turnover margin, you know, third down conversions, the basics. And then find your calling card from there. So if you're Mizzou, definitely a bowl team this year. You know, and your goal, especially in a year where Florida's rebuilding, Tennessee's still down, South Carolina's really down, you know, you're not crazy to think that if you can beat Kentucky, you're probably at worst maybe the third best team in the SEC East with the potential, with an upset or a couple of big bad things happening to Florida, that you could shoot for the number two spot. But I think a bowl game and being number three in the SEC East would be a fantastic year for the Tigers.
Okay, Kansas hired Lance Leipold away from Buffalo. What did you think of that hire?
Love it. Love the hire. He is a underappreciated head coach. You're talking about a guy who was a national title-level superstar at Wisconsin Whitewater, created an absolute powerhouse there, went to Buffalo. The knock is his Buffalo teams have been the best teams in the MAC over the last 3 or 4 years, and they kind of dropped the ball at the goal line a couple times in the MAC championships. But certainly look what they did with that running game last year, with what Jarrett Patterson was able to do, what Kevin Marks is going to be able to do this year at Buffalo. Right now, obviously, Kansas is a free space, you know, season. Right now, it's just about building up the program. And for all first-year coaches, what you're trying to do is give the fan base just a glimpse of what might be coming. And just show that, okay, there's something there that we could see, okay, 2 or 3 years down the road, once he gets the right guys in place, this could sort of happen. But here's a guy who has absolutely been able to accomplish really, really big things. He's won everywhere he's been. And, again, give it some time. And this year, really, it's just kind of all about seeing what you got and what you can build and how you get your systems in place from there.
What do you expect from Chris Klieman in his third season as head coach at Kansas State?
Kind of like to see them make a big push. And, you know, if you look at the Big 12 across the board this year, Oklahoma is the best team by far out of everybody. Kansas is the worst team. And then you've got that middle eight, including Texas, which is all kind of, you know, you spread around how you want. I mean, Baylor's going to be better. Texas Tech's going to be better. But Kansas State, again, you know, as I mentioned before with Mizzou, you know, Kansas State, when it was doing all the best things under Bill Snyder, it was that team that just forced you to play its style and did everything right. No penalties. Special teams were awesome. Third down conversions, time of possession, control the game, make you play their game. And certainly I think Klieman's got the ability to do that. This team should be good enough to hang with or beat anybody. I think the Big 12 title game's a little bit of a reach this year, but certainly finishing in the top five in bowl game is a very, very easily attainable goal.
Okay, finally, I mentioned Iowa State earlier. They won the Fiesta Bowl last year. They had a hell of a season. Most everyone has them in their preseason top 10. And so, Matt Campbell, what do you believe Iowa State will live up to the tremendous amount of hype and expectations that's been placed upon the program this year?
Yeah, it depends on where you – if you think Big 12 championship, again, Oklahoma is so good. And I'm saying no. They're very good, but there are teams from last year that stepped it up, and you know, Indiana is certainly part of that mix, and the Sun Belt teams are part of that mix. But yes, Iowa State's probably the number two team coming in the Big 12 coming into the season, and they get everybody back. The star power there is fantastic. But the weird thing about this season and the Big 12 as much as anybody else is this whole year of the super senior, where you've got team after team after team that has like 20 starters returning. Like look at a team like Texas Tech, where they not only have just about everyone back with a defense that should be pretty good, but Tyler Shough, the transfer from Oregon, that dude's got number one overall draft pick potential if it all kicks in. That's one of those teams that's not going to win the Big 12, but could certainly hang 50 on the board on the right day against anybody. Again, Kansas State can beat just about anybody in the Big 12. Iowa State's going to be right there. It's going to be in the mix. I think it. Obviously, you have to think it's either Iowa State or Texas getting to the Big 12 championship. But you got to beat Oklahoma twice, and I don't think Iowa State can quite do that.
Hey, Pete, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you talking football with us.
Anytime, guys. You have a good one.
That's Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Nate, did you enjoy what he had to say about Lance Leipold? Sounds like he's a fan of the hire.
Yeah, that's great. I'm excited about. As you know, I've been a fan of the hire, so I like hearing that. It's kind of hard. Like, I think it's a lot easier for you as a Missouri fan to get excited about the football season because you know where your team is.
Very excited.
I mean, as a KU football fan, it's like, yeah, I'm excited about Lance Leipold. Now, what league are we going to be in?
Yeah, but guess what?
Where
if he's a good
play,
coach, like, it don't matter. If he's the right guy, it doesn't. Like, I was having this conversation with Jake in the commercial break. Matt Campbell. It doesn't matter where Iowa State is.
Right.
He can coach his ass off, and they're going to be good. If Lance Leipold's the right guy, wherever you are, it's going to be all right. The most important thing is to hire the right coach.
That's
right
true.
Now.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. And I think they finally hired a legit football coach, KU, for the first time in over a decade.
We had a lot of people that know what they're talking about, and some people that don't know what they're talking about on the show, but they've all agreed
mm-hmm.
Lance Leipold was the right hire. Is a hell of a hire.
I'm a big fan.
Let yourself be happy for a second.
I'm happy.
So negative. Well, doesn't sound like it. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.